Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The special interests and campaign donors have never had less power than they've had over the past 11 years. And this year, we're going to show them just how true that is.
Mayor Bloomberg warning the city against the perils of the post-Bloomberg world in his State of the City speech yesterday, when candidates will once again have to seek endorsements and campaign donations from businesses, unions, power brokers, and other special interests in order to pay for their campaigns. Now, a reaction to that and some of the proposals in Bloomberg's final State of the City address from the man who ran against him in his last election and lost by only a few points, former New York City Comptroller Bill Thompson, who still hopes to be the next mayor. Comptroller Thompson, welcome back to WNYC. Always good to have you.
Brian, it's great to be back on with you again.
So first on that idea, does the mayor have a point there about the advantages of a financially independent mayor for independent public policy making?
Well, I think, again, the mayor has kind of missed the point. When you talk about the special interest, I think that Mike Bloomberg has probably been his own special interest over the last 11 years and hasn't listened and hasn't reached out to the people of this city. So for him to talk about a post-Bloomberg era in a third term that he didn't listen to the people of the city of New York about and went in a very backdoor fashion to obtain, and then to say you're going to miss me, that the world will end when I leave, I think it's a little presumptuous.
How do you mean, though, his own special interest? Because it wasn't like he was trying to enact policies that would benefit him personally, which is what we usually think of as a special interest in politics. So what do you mean exactly?
I think enacting policies without speaking to people, without talking to them, without getting the input of communities across the city of New York, a sense of, I know what's best for you and I really don't care what you think. I think all of that is part of being your own special interest. So I would say that, you know, the mayor has governed for 11 plus years and not listened to the people of the city of New York. Some of it has been good. Some of it's been bad. It could have been much better. And I think taking the victory lap yesterday, in his State of the City and basically saying that almost the city is going to be much worse after he leaves is incredibly presumptuous. New York City was here and was a strong city before Mike Bloomberg, and it will be a strong city after Mike Bloomberg.
One of his examples is how he's holding firm on the school bus driver strike. And I saw that you and some of your rivals, your main rivals for the Democratic nomination for mayor, Christine Quinn, John Liu, Bill de Blasio, Sal Albanese, all sent a letter to the bus drivers union kind of in support of their demands. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Well, I think that, you know, the employee protection provision that's included in the contracts and has been included in the contracts, as far as I'm concerned, it isn't just a question of keeping experienced bus drivers. It's a question of keeping those who know our children best, know the routes best, and have shown over a period of time that they will transport our children safely and effectively. And just sending a letter to them that just indicates that that is something that, you know, we would be concerned about in the future, something that should be maintained within those contracts. Hopefully we'll get them off, you know, off the picket lines and back in transporting our children.
How did it wind up happening that you and your main rivals for the Democratic nomination, who would have an interest in not coordinating at this particular point in time, got together on this letter? How did it go?
Well, I think that more than anything, this was kind of, you know, I think all of us have taken a position in one form or another that, while may not be exact, you know, indicate that we would like to see safety, that we would like to see those who are experienced continue to drive and transport our children safely and efficiently. And I think it just kind of came together around that. We have been in similar places and on this one have policy or positions that, while may not, as I said, they may not be the same things, they're similar. So I think they just kind of came together around that.
But you are also asking them to end the strike, aren't you?
Yes. I think at this point they've been out for a month. And, you know, in the middle of the winter, it has been difficult for parents to get their children to school, particularly those, you know, a number of our children in special ed, they just have not been able to get to school. Everybody needs to get back to work right now.
So how can you square those two things, that you've just said. One, you're asking them to end the strike, and two, you're supporting their key demand.
Well, because in the end, it does come down to transporting the most precious thing that parents have, their children, and doing it effectively and safely. And that's the one thing that you don't want to tinker with, is the safe transportation of our children. So I think that when you start with that as a baseline premise and a focus, I don't want inexperienced drivers and matrons to be out there taking care of our children. I want those who have shown over a period of time that they can provide safety for our children. And that's how I think you reconcile it.
Can this cut both ways, that on the one hand, you don't want a company to have the right to just kind of lowball who the drivers of our children, including our most handicapped children, are, and just bring in, you know, the lowest paid workers to do that, because that's probably not in the best interest of the kids. On the other hand, if there's too much union protection, then drivers who are incompetent might be protected from that side and remain on the job.
Well, those who are incompetent, you'll get rid of, because it becomes a safety issue. Those who do the wrong things, they get fired. And, you know, the one thing about it also is, as the letter points out, you know, these contracts should be bid out. No one's saying don't bid them out. No one's saying let's not generate savings. And when you start to look at drivers and matrons who really aren't being paid that much, that's not what drives the cost behind school bus contracts. It is routing. It's inefficient routing. It's trying to get, you know, if you look at the maintenance of equipment and just to be able to have a bus, a school bus, that costs money. All of those things are part of a school bus contract. So it's not the contracts for the workers and their salaries that really drives the cost. It's so many other things.
Before we move on to some other issues, is there any politics behind that, that all the Democrats in the race for mayor feel like you're going to lose on this issue if you just dig in with the union, and so you've called for them to end the strike?
No, politics has, in this case, has almost nothing to do with it. This is about, you know, safety and efficiently transporting our children. That's what this is about.
Former New York City Comptroller Bill Thompson, who hopes to be the next mayor, my guest on WNYC. What did you think of the spectacle of the speech at the Barclays Center yesterday? Frankly, I've never seen anything like it, with singers and dancers and banners displaying his statistical accomplishments, record low in homicides, record low in fire deaths. The number of murders last year literally hung from the rafters as a badge of honor. 421, or forget the exact number, forgive me, but did it strike you as over the top, or fine, let him have his going away party, he paid for it with his own money?
You know something, was it over the top? Of course it was. I guess no one will forget the mayor's last state of the city, okay, and that's the one thing that I think that we all can sit back and smile at. Look, I think that clearly the mayor is concerned about his legacy. He's trying to drive those points home. And it's kind of doing the, you know, you're not going to miss me at all. One thing that was definitely left out, there was no discussion about the budget. There was no discussion about so many of the one-shots that he's been using to close the budget. No discussion about the fact that every union contract by the end of this year will have expired and there won't be any money left, or there's no money being put on the side to reserve against any type of settlement. There was no discussion about that. I think that was, if you wanted to present a balanced picture, that should have been done also.
Well, I wouldn't want to have been a parent of one of the children who was a murder victim and be seeing that banner with the number hanging down as a badge of honor yesterday. You used to be president of the Board of Education. I saw Errol Lewis on New York One yesterday say that Bloomberg came into office hoping to build a legacy on his education record, but he will probably be remembered long-term for his accomplishments on the environment and public health. How much do you agree with that?
I think that for the person who wanted to be remembered as the education mayor, he definitely will not have that title. I think that in so many ways, I applaud the mayor for getting mayoral control of the New York City public school system. But in so many ways, his administration has really had a failed approach to education. The focus on standardized testing, focus on just memorization and test prep has proven to be kind of a failed approach. It should have been about, you know, comprehension and critical thinking. So 12 years into it, Mike Bloomberg is not going to be the education mayor. It's important I talk about education all the time. It is important that we focus on comprehension and critical thinking. It's important that we have an educator at the top of the education system as opposed to business people, and we've had that for years off and on. I just think that it's time to shift direction and really make sure that our children are learning, because right now they are not. So I think that, you know, the mayor had looked to be the education mayor. He's better off focusing on the environment and health. I think in those areas he can point to success. In education, limited success.
On another question, the minimum wage is a topic this year. President Obama, in his State of the Union, proposed a $9 an hour minimum wage because a full-time worker should never live in poverty. John Liu, in his mayoral campaign, is proposing $11.50, a real living wage, he calls it, for the city. Christine Quinn on our show yesterday said yes to at least the president's number and wouldn't endorse or rule out Liu's $11.50. Do you have a target minimum wage that you would propose?
I think that right now it is important. The president put a number forward. If you look, the state legislature had talked about $8.75. The president's put $9 forward. There's an amendment to move that up to $9. I think it's important to get at least to that number in the state of New York, and definitely in the city of New York. What we're seeing is workers, and particularly so many low-wage earners across the city of New York, who can't afford to live in New York City, who can't afford to bring their children up and bring their families up in New York. It is important that we move that number up. Right now, if $9 is the number, let's get there. The state legislature needs to move and pass that number and do it quickly so we can start, you know, people can start to be able to take care of themselves and their families, at least on a better level. And then we can look past that and see what we can do, particularly in attracting higher paying jobs to the city of New York. So all of that's important, and I applaud the president. I think that, you know, his comment saying to the nation, let's get to $9, reverberated across this country, and I think New York State should take the lead quickly.
I want to ask you about the mayoral primary date. I gather it's in flux. Could be in June, could be in September. The New York Times has editorialized for June. Do you have a position?
I think that it needs to stay in September. I think that people are used to that. And the only reason that there's a discussion about moving the date into June, and it is astonishing, is that the Board of Elections continues to indicate that they may have problems. I thought the new machines, you know, as opposed to the old antiquated machines, that they were able to get, ready for a primary and then turn around for a runoff. It appears that the new machines don't perform as well as the old machines. That's outrageous. And the simple fact that the discussion about moving the election to June, away from September, revolves around the Board of Elections' inability to move democracy forward. It makes no sense. If anything, we should be providing additional resources to the Board of Elections so that they can run an election efficiently and effectively. I believe it stays in September. I don't think there's really any appetite and desire to move it to June. There's so many things, campaign finance. I mean, people don't pay attention to that. In the city of New York, you receive matching funds. A lot of us are still working on that. But in addition to that, that system's not ready to provide dollars. So before everybody looks to move things because one entity, in this case, the Board of Elections, is inefficient and unable to do their job, we should look at how to do things correctly.
We have under a minute left. One politics question. The good news for you in the new New York One Marist poll is that you're running second only to Christine Quinn in the Democratic primary race. The bad news is that Quinn has three times your support. I know it's extremely early, so those numbers only mean a little bit, but politically, what's your path to victory?
Well, I think that who I am is a path to victory. Growing up in the city of New York, being born and raised in Bedford-Stuyvesant, president of the New York City Board of Education, controller of the city of New York, understanding the people of this city. I think New Yorkers want a mayor with experience, vision, and ability to be able to lead each and every community in our city. And I believe that's one of my strengths. I believe that, you know, just who I am, a native New Yorker who's the product of our public schools, you know, my mother and father are, public servants in this city. That's part of my strength. So I think so many things are part of my strength. And as you just pointed out, it's a little early, and it is not when it comes to any one of my campaigns. the polls have never been right early, and I think we've all seen that. So I'm confident that I will be the Democratic nominee in September.
Well, you came within 5 points of Mayor Bloomberg in November 4 years ago. We'll see what happens this year, and we'll keep talking. Former Controller Bill Thompson, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Good being back.
And listeners, we've been talking to many of the mayoral candidates in the last few weeks. We put them all together on our page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show to hear our various interviews. We have Republican hopeful Joe Loda coming up next week. So much coverage of the 2013 mayoral race here on the Brian Lehr Show. Coming up next, an ER doctor's view of his hometown, Newark. Stay with us.